Well, Father, it is this time to open up your word and to hear from you. Thank you, Lord, for the truthness, the richness, the vibrancy, the word of you, Lord, in our Bibles, Lord, just speaks to us. And I pray, Lord, it'll encourage us and teach us, direct us and lead us. Thank you, Lord. Have your way, I pray. Amen. So we're looking in Romans 13. You know, the whole jaunt we've been on here for some weeks now is Romans 13, 11 to 14, and that verse there of 12. Therefore, night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. And the key into that I want to say, and we've been looking at, is let us put on the armor of light. Let us put on the armor of light. Amen. And we need to do that, and we need to wear it proudly. Amen? Wear that armor of light proudly. Show people, and it's not to boast, it's not to stand out, but it is to stand out, to show them that there's something different about you, and that something different is not you, but it's Christ in you. When Christ comes into us, we have a change of heart. Amen? We have a change of thoughts. We begin to put our thoughts upon Him. We put our heart to where to say, Lord, work in this heart of mine so that I can be a help to those around, that I can express your love to those. And it's hard to express love to those that need love, because sometimes those in the world, they've been cheated out of love. And they look at love as something that man gives, and that it can, what man gives, man takes away. But and His love for us flows like that of a river. And His love never cheats us. His love never is pulled back from us. His love is never yanked from us. His love will stay in you as you hold on to His love. Amen? And that's our part of playing. We got to hold on. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Hold on to God's unchanging ways. And that's what we've been talking about, that God does not change. He says, I change not. We know that He's the same as He was yesterday. He's the same today. He's going to be the same tomorrow. We can rest upon that. We can continue to go forth, even when times come up to get against us, that we have trials and we have tribulations. We have situations in our life that are not always pleasant. But because of Him in me, I know that I can survive this. Do you know you can survive what you're going through right now? It might be yucky, it might be hurtful, it might be hard, it might be anything you can describe it to say, I just don't like it, and it's hurting me, or it's affecting me, or it's affecting my family, or whatever the case might be. But with that child of God, you know that I will persevere. I'm not going to let this hold me down. I'm not going to let this, the enemy, the devil, trying to kill, steal, and destroy the things in my life, the things that God has put there for me, because I know that my God goes before me. Do you know your God goes before you? Do you know that your God surrounds you? It's almost like with a force field. As a child of God, that we can go into these dark areas, not because I want to go into the darkness, but I'm going to tell you, once you step outside into the world, once you step outside and go to the mall, once you step outside and go to Walmart, out through your front door, whatever, you're in the darkness. This world is dark. And darkness is like, well, yeah, but it's sunlight. No, but it's dark. It's spiritually dark. And see, that's what God's word is all about. He's wanting us to understand the spiritual effect of what He is about, dealing with the spiritual aspects of what we all go through. And the enemy is that of a spirit. You know, God is light. God is a spirit. The Holy Spirit has come, fills us. And so it's very important, and as I've dwelt on this now for 2 to 3 weeks, 3 weeks or so, let us put on the armor of light. Let us put on the armor of light. I would like to read these verses here out of the Passion. Last few times I've read it out of the Contemporary English, and I think I had it out of the Amplified a few weeks back. And it's kind of neat to find the flavor of different translations, right? And to read what that translation is trying to bring about from these words of God. And that's why it's good. Read multiple translations and try to get a good feel for the understanding of what is being said here. But in the Passion, it goes to this. To live like this is all the more urgent. For time is running out, and you know it is a strategic hour in human history. A strategic hour. I believe today it's a strategic hour, but as long as the Lord tarries, I think every hour that goes by is a strategic hour. It's an hour for us to be the children of God, to be His warriors, to be His light, to be His whatever example, but we are to be that because it's a strategic time. I'm going to tell you, it's a strategic time in your life right now for you to be at this church. It's a strategic time ordained by God. Before you even came today, God knew you were going to be sitting in that chair, that chair, that chair, this chair. He knew that. That's the kind of God we serve. He's everywhere and He's all-knowing. And it's a strategic hour, so His Word is telling us as we're reading it that this is a strategic hour in the human history. It is time for us to wake up. Sometimes we said it's get up from your slumber. For our salvation, our full salvation, is nearer now than when we first believed. Night's darkness is dissolving away as a new day of destiny dawns. Destiny dawns. I want to encourage you guys, every day the sun comes up, there's a new destiny is dawning in your path. What God has for you to do, He's given you an opportunity. I shared in Sunday school a little bit, but I shared with my daughter yesterday a situation of a family friend that had a stroke and, you know, beginning to have to come back from things. And I said, you know, you wake up in the morning, you put your feet on the floor, and you can wake up and open your eyes, you've got a good day ahead of you. Hello? If you don't think so, go to some intensive care units. Walk up and down those halls and see men and women, young and old, in beds with tubes all over and going down. Helping them stay alive. And you think you got a bad day? So it's an encouraging thing to know that we have a destiny. And when that dawning of the new day, there's a time for you to continue to reach into that destiny, to reach into what God has for you and not to give up. Oh, I had a bad day yesterday. Well, the day is yesterday, okay? Today is new. All things are new. Amen. The sun comes up, the sun goes down. It keeps going around and around. It's what you are going to want to do with those hours that God gives you. Amen? God's Word will say you can slumber. That's okay, but you're missing it. And you're going to miss the benefits of what God has for you as the longer we slumber and the longer we sleep in the spiritual, well, I don't know what's going on. I'm just in this vortex, you know. A vortex is just something, this wind is just going around. I just can't get out of it. There's a good vortex and a bad vortex. We had a teaching sometimes back on that where I think the Lord had shown me one time for the church here many years back about we're in a vortex. And I looked up that word vortex and the power that's in a vortex. Anyway. But every day we are dealing with things. But here again, night's darkness is dissolving away as a new day of destiny dawns. So we must once and for all, strip away what is done in the shadows of darkness, removing it like filthy clothes, and once and for all we clothe ourselves with the radiance of light as our weapon. Light is a weapon. That's why, like, you know, sabers and things are like a laser light, you know. They can cut right to you if it's the right laser. You know, wasn't that back in Star Wars or something like that, you know? It was a saber of light that cut through things. But in spiritual battles and things, we have that light for us. We clothe ourselves with the radiance of light as our weapon. We must live honorably, surrounded by the light of this new day, not in the darkness of drunkenness, debauchery, not in promiscuity, not in sensuality, not being argumentative or jealous of others. Get all that stuff off of you. Take off those clothes, amen. Instead, fully immerse yourselves into the Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, and don't waste even a moment's thought on your former identity to awaken its selfish desires. Many times we do. We waste ourselves thinking about what we used to be. Don't do that. The devil would like for you to always think about what you used to be, because if he can let you think about what you used to be, you might just become what you used to be again. We got to put that old thought away, that old thinking. You got what they used to say, we'd have guest speakers come through and say, you've got to get rid of that stinking thinking. That stinking thinking when you think about the past, because all things are new. You're a new creation. God has come in. He's transformed you. You know, we are like that of a caterpillar to a butterfly, you know. He squished out those things, you know, as the caterpillar gets in its crystal and it gets ready to come out and it pushes its way out. And all that pushing is good because it puts all the vibrancy and it puts all the fluid and whatever out and into the wings of the butterfly so it can come out and do what the butterfly, the monarch, does. And it flies and it's beautiful and it just mesmerizes you, doesn't it? But as we transform and get to where God wants us to be, those things, that butterfly doesn't look back on, gosh, I wish I was a caterpillar again. Probably not, because he's out there flying, man. He's probably thinking, well, when it comes fall, I got a long ways to go back south. And they go south. But they come back. All of these things that God does. So as we are a new creation, a new creature in Christ, we've got to put that mindset on. We've got to get ourselves fixated into know that I am this new person. And I don't want to, as this says, don't waste a moment's thought on your former identity. So now as we get into this, I've talked throughout this time of what this light is. And I'm not going to break it all down again. If you really want to know some of these things, go on our website and look for these Sundays, because I'm only 1 week behind. But everything that's preached up here pretty well, it's always on our website, and you can listen to it. But as we went into this, we looked at God's character. This is the things as God's righteousness being manifested in us. So that light, when we talk about put that light of Christ on, we're looking at this, that of it's God's character that we put on. It's the divine justice that he's a part of. As we look at also holiness and purity, we looked at that, I think, last week. Now we're looking at today, the number fourth area is conformity to his law. It's all of these things that we have to do, you've got to do, to get into that realm of putting on that armor of light. You cannot serve God in your old former self. You've got to change. You've got to get out of the world. You've got to stop doing what the world had you doing, and you've got to change your whole direction as far as what you're living for, who you're living for, and what your plans were that you thought you had. They got to turn out to be what God's plan is for you. It might change your whole dynamics. It might change your whole trajectory of where you were going in this life of 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years. You thought you're going this way, but God gets a hold of you and he puts you on his path, and now you're going this way, but you get on his path and you will have a much fuller, abundant life, and you will feel more encouraged. You will feel better about yourself. It's not to be prideful about yourself, but you will begin to feel differently. Has anybody felt differently once Christ got a hold of you and he put you onto that trajectory where he wanted you to go? All of a sudden, it seems like at times we end up finding out that, you know what, my life has a purpose now. Sometimes many people go through life not even knowing what they're here for, other than they think, I'm just going to work, have fun, and die. Work, have fun, and die. There is so much more to this life that God has put for each and every one of us, that he wants you to enjoy this life here. He wants you to have fun in this life. He wants you to, you know, gain many things. I walk in his abundance. How many here walk in his abundance? God's provisions, God's strength, God's health, God's this, God, whatever it is, that God begins to put himself on and around you so that you can fulfill. Do you have an ache and a sore foot at times? Yeah, but I'm still human. I'm still flesh. I still have bodies. I'm not in my mortal body yet, you know. This thing does, you know, gets cuts. Spring, you know, it's... You name it, I'm talking to the choir here. We have these things, but just because that happens doesn't mean that you're not a child of God. It doesn't mean that you can't take on tomorrow. It doesn't mean that you can't handle today and make a difference of today, right? We can all have woe is me. It's like, you know, if you want to stay in your woe is me, you don't go very far when you woe a horse. When you say, whoa, Nelly, whoa, what does that horse do? It just stops. Sometimes our lives have stopped where we pull those reins back because of one thing or another. I don't feel I can accomplish it. I don't think God loves me anymore. I don't think God has a plan for me. I don't think God, how could he love me? Because the devil keeps telling me that I was such a bad person. All of these things are lost. I'm just waste. I'm just here. I'm just, you know, a glob. No, you're not. You're a child of God. God, you are in the image of God. God has put himself in you. And so we've got to come back around and don't woe down what you're doing. You need to giddy up. You need to get on the thing of the horse of Christ and start giddy up and, you know, come on, let's go. Let's go, silver. Hi-ho, silver, away. We got to get on that horse and ride. We got to accomplish things. Don't give up. So I want that light of armor, that armor of light to be upon me when Romans 13 says, and let us put on this armor of light. One of those areas we need to conform to his law. God's righteousness can be understood as conforming to his own law and his will. It's his law we follow. It's his will. Lord, let thy will be done. We change ourselves from what my will wants to what his will wants. Well, I don't want to do that because I want to do what I want to do. I'm going to tell you guys, if you submit yourselves totally to that of God's will, you will have a wonderful life. Am I speaking out of turn here? I don't think so. I think when you surrender your will to his and you pick up his will, your life will have much more abundance. Your life will have much more meaning. Your life will have much more fulfillment. Your life will be something that you will look at saying, wow, I'm blessed. I'm blessed because my God is blessing me. Why is he blessing me? Because I said, not my will, but your will be done. Had a little conversations at times in Sunday school too about where we've got to look at, you know, God, is there more that I should be doing? Are you happy where I'm at? We've got to talk to God. We've got to listen to him. We've got to have a conversation with God, not just on Sunday mornings and not just in prayer when we need something. We need to continually be talking to God as if he is sitting in this chair or I'm sitting in this chair and he's in this chair or whatever, and I'm just going to sit down and have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about it, right? That's what he wants you to tell him, all about your problems. He says, spill your guts, Tim. Spill them. Oh, you're not going to want to hear because nobody in this world wants to hear. I start and they walk out on me. God is saying, no, Tim, I love you. I want to hear what's going on. What's hurting you? What's the pain? What are you finding difficult? Oh, God, you won't know. God will know because he's been through it. He's seen it. Why? How? Through that of Jesus Christ, his son, as he became that of man and that of Jesus. Jesus experienced pain and suffering and discomfort, and he saw what humanity did. God sees what humanity does, and also now he knows how it feels. He knows how it feels. He knows the hurts. He knows the sorrows. He knows these things. And so we just need to sit down and have a conversation with him. And I just want to say, God, are you happy with what I'm doing? God, am I pleasing you? We are to be a God pleaser, not a man pleaser. We all came out of the world where we wanted to please the man. We wanted to please someone. We called the man, whatever that man is. But we've got to change that now. Remember where it says, don't think about your past. Don't even waste on that. But I want to be a God pleaser to say, here I am, Lord. Use me and fill me. Use me and fill me. Well, I got to conform to his law. I got to look at his holiness. I got to look at what he's all about. That's when I begin to do those things. I digest them and ingest them into me by reading his word. And I begin to let that feed me, feeds my spirit, that now I know what God is about. It's all conforming. God's righteousness can be understood as conforming to his law and will. This standard is not arbitrary. It reflects his perfect character. You know already God is perfect. There is no turning in him. Now, that talks about that shadow of light. It's the same. God is a perfect God. In sense, God's law is a reflection of his righteousness. Romans 7:12 says, so the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteousness is and good. We think of God's will in 1 Peter 2:15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. We want to do all these good things. We want to be an example, that light that's out there. 1 Thessalonians, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. We have to abstain from that. Abstain from the days of the world. Abstain against the things that this world is always well known for. We talk about in Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work and for His good pleasure. How many here? God's good pleasure. He has pleasure in you. Thank you, Lord. Now I want to turn to and look at, I jumped over Psalms 19:7-9. We've got to go back to Psalms 19:7-9. Talking about that of the conforming to His law. The heading on my Bible of Psalms 19 says, the perfect revelation of the Lord. The heavens, verse 1, Psalms 19:1. The heavens declare what? The glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor knowledge where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth. My goodness. This opportunity here, the psalm is giving appropriately, unites the two ways that God has revealed Himself to man. By general revelation in His creation, and by specific revelation in His inspired word. Now, I get into 7, and it says this. The law of the Lord, this is Psalms 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You could look at that word converting to restoring the soul. Isn't it nice to know that you are restored? I want to get back to that. The testimony of the Lord is pure, is sure, making wise the simple. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing in the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Let's go to 10. More to be desired are they, what? The laws and things of God, than that of gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is a great reward. What is that? The statutes of the Lord are right. The law is perfect. Those things that He has and put down to say this is what to do, this is what not to do, are perfect. Now, in my little dynamic section here of Psalms 7 through 9, but in Psalm 7, talks about the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The law of the Lord is perfect is a direct reference to the absolute, complete, and entire trustworthiness of the Holy Scriptures, which constitute this that we call the Bible. You got to first agree that this is God's Word. There ain't no ways about it. You can't split hairs and say, this is not God's word. Some of it is God's word. Others, man's word. Man put some stuff in there. No, from the front cover to the back cover of the Bible, it's God's word. The word of God is perfect in its accuracy and sure in its dependability. Two terms are generally used to describe these features of God's word. One, the inerrant or the perfect means that in the original copies of each manuscript written by each Bible book's respective author, there was nothing mistaken or tinged with error. Further, the excellence of the Holy Spirit's protection of the Scriptures over the centuries has ensured that the copies delivered into our hands from generations past is respectfully the same, or is especially the same. Even literary critics who claim no faith in the truth of the Bible, they will attest to it being the most complete, reliable of any book transmitted from antiquity in terms of its actually remaining unchanged and dependably accurate. Oh, I can hear that chorus. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Hold on to God's unchanging word. This is why we can stand before you, and you can stand before anybody out there in the darkness of this world and say, God's word is true. God's word is the light of this world, you know, as far as coming forth. It's not going to change. You can debate it. You can argue it. It ain't going to change. Now, as we look at this, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That converting is restoring that of the soul. I have probably shared this, but I'll try to quickly just touch base upon this. When I was working with my secular job, I did a lot of traveling, and I would travel the same roads many times after so many years. And I began to notice things along those routes. And one time, it's between Whitewater, I can't think of the next town past Whitewater, but somewhere out in that area, I always noticed that I would go by a fenced-in area. And I began to wonder what that was all about. And the Lord caused me to start paying attention to that location. And I would go by it, and then I started, when I got close to it, I'd remember, I go, I got to pay attention. Anybody been there with the Lord? Well, what was behind the walls were cars that were wrecked. It was a junkyard. I said, well, that's great, Lord. And that wall was, the fence was really pretty. And he says, here's what I want to show you in that, Tim. Okay, Lord. See, this is conversations that I have with God as I just listening to him. And he says, the world is like that. People's lives are like those cars that sit behind that fence. They're wrecked, they're dinged, they're dented. Some of them have been in such tragedies of accidents that you can't even tell which end is up. People's lives are like that. I said, okay, Lord, that's cool. And he says, that fence that goes around that area, it's the fence that men and women put up in their lives to hide from what really is affecting them. And they don't want to admit to it. They don't want people to see it. So they put this fence, so to speak, up in their life. And they try to put on that happy face, like, everything's good, I'm okay, blah, blah, blah. But he says, they're hurting. They're dented. They're damaged. But they don't want anybody to see them. I said, okay, Lord. Then my thoughts wandered. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting or restoring the soul. He goes, yeah, I understand that, what you're saying, God. We all know what junkyards look like. We all know what are in there. But I said, Lord, I do know that there will be people that will go into a junkyard and find a wreck and pay $100 for it, you know, whatever the time, $200 just to get it. And they'll take it to their garage. And they'll put it up on jacks and stands, and they will begin to do what? Will they leave that wrecked car as it was when they got it out of the junkyard? Generally not. They will bring it back to their shop, and they begin to work on it. They ding out, they put new stuff on it, they take care of the fender that's dented, they take care of the back bumper, they take care of the hood, the car, the top, the roof, the doors, the interior that's all ripped up. They take time, and what are they doing? They're restoring that car. Sometimes they will restore it back to what it was when it came off the assembly line. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of money. It takes a lot of talent. I said, that's pretty good, God. Yeah, because I've seen people that do restoring of cars, and that's their baby. They take care of it. They're like happy. They'll take it out, and they'll after it's all done and ready, they'll take it out and go up and down the roads, and they'll go to, you know, meets and all that and put it out there. And it's like, wow, that car looks beautiful. It looks like it just came off the showroom. Well, here's what it used to look like. And you're going, oh my gosh. And this is what it is. And God says, if people will let me come into their fenced-in area, I will restore their life. And I will make it new like that. I said, wow, Lord, that's pretty intense. But God says, I'm in the restoration business. And I know people, and I know lives. You think your life is tore up and messed up and nobody knows? God knows, right? He knew where my life was tore up. He knew where yours and yours and yours and yours and yours. He knows where our lives have been in accidents, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. And God is just saying, and he was speaking to me with the looking at that junkyard, it's like, I am that restorer. Thank you, Lord. He says, I go into people's junkyards and I begin to take out the dents of the hurts. I begin to, you know, change out the damaged whatever, you know, and I replace them. You know, he talks about restoring, replacing our hearts, and we have a stony heart. He will put a new heart in us. Is that the engine or the transmission? I don't know. Our mind is beginning to be renewed and restored to the things of the mind. He says, have the mind of Christ. He's putting that into us. We're an old, dilapidated being. We've been through this world. We could only be like, well, don't have to be very old, but we've been through this world because we're all sinners. And sometimes we love that sin. We love where it was taking us because it was fun. And then we hit the wall and we go, there's got to be something more in this life than this. Well, you're in the junkyard of life. And God is the great restorer. Well, we got to allow Him in. He says, people need to allow me to come behind that fence that they hide behind, and I will restore their life to what I want it to be. Sometimes those cars that are restored are 10 times more valuable than when it first rolled off the line because of the work involved. God, in His infinite wisdom and ability, He works in us. He takes the junk out of us. He cleanses us with His Word, washes us with the water of the Word. We stay in His statutes. We stay in His relationship. We stay with Him, and He is continually renewing us. We have a song we sing, Change My Heart, O God. I mean, if you look at the person and how they change, it's no different than restoring a wrecked car. But God is the greatest restorer of them all, because He'll restore your life and He'll put you back on that path and He will say, there you are now, my son, my daughter, follow my path. So when I came across this yesterday or so, when I was rereading it and sitting out back, and I came across, restoring that story that this happened. This was probably back in 98 or 99, really, when I was working with Walmart. I've been serving God longer than I was with Walmart. Hallelujah. But that was a season for me to be with God to teach me. Describes, the law is perfect. God's law is perfect, reliable, it's righteous, it's pure, and it's eternal. It's ongoing. It never stops. That is Psalms 19, 7 through 9. Speaking to the conforming to His law, His righteousness. Hallelujah. It's not that hard to understand. You can understand it, okay? Sometimes people go, well, God is too deep for me. No, that's because you're trying to put your thought and your spin on it because you don't understand it. Because you're a person that you need to understand everything that goes on in your life. Well, that's the old way. That's man. Man's got to figure out, how does this work? How does that go? What causes this? What? And God just says, trust me. Trust me. I am here to help you. And I will renew you. And I will revibrate you. I will give you new life into you. Just trust me. I mean, if you've been in the world for X number of years, can't you at least give God like 6 months or a year to kind of work in you a little bit? You know, give Him a benefit of the doubt. And I'm pretty sure that once you begin to do that, you will see the things that God has. And you will say, I don't need to go back to where I came from. We think about redemption and grace. That's another part of that light of God, the armor of light that we want to wear. The redemption and grace. This concept of God's righteousness exceeds to His redemptive work in Christ. Humans are inherently sinful. Hello. Did you guys just wake up on that? What is that? Humans are inherently, we're sinful, unable to perfectly meet God's standard of righteousness. We were born as a child is a child. That baby's born in sin. Well, he's not even been around long enough to get in sin, but he's been born into a fallen world. Little Johnny and little Susie, they're perfect little babies, but when you look at that, there's sin upon that life. That's what happens when we come into this world, because this world is nothing but sin. It wasn't that way, right? In the garden, it used to be a perfect, blessed world. If that hadn't fallen in the world back then in the garden, and a baby came in, you know, if that was going to happen, it would be without sin, because everything would be perfect. But the fall in the garden caused everything to be that of sin, darkness. Jesus has come to return us back to God. Jesus went. But Jesus is coming back, and then there will be perfection up on this earth. So Humans are inherently sinful, unable to meet the standards of God's righteousness, but God provides a way. Amen? Can anybody say amen to that? Thank you, Lord, for providing a way for us to be reconciled to Him through that of Jesus. That's why Jesus came, to reconcile to us, to bring us back. God loves us so much. He saw what the sin did in the garden, and He had a plan. He goes, I love these people. Well, He's going to smoke those that were there for a while because they really ticked Him off. I think it was Moses that kind of talked Him down from doing that. But, you know, it's just like, come on. God has got it there. He's got that for us. He's got a standard, and He wants to help us. God's standard of righteousness. God provides a way, Jesus, to reconcile us through that of the faith in Jesus Christ, who bore the penalty for our sins. I say this kind of carefully to say this, that, you know, by His stripes we are healed. But the ultimate thing, really the first thing that what Jesus wanted to do was restore us back to that of God. And the way He could do that was He had to cleanse and wash our sins away, because sin cannot stand in front of that of God, and God cannot be where there's sin. So when you get into the Holy of Holies, you've got to be sinless, right? And so God's thought was, I first of all want my Son to come, and as you repent and say, forgive me of my sins, you will have a cleansing of your sins. You will be washed by the blood of Jesus, not covered. His blood washes you as clean as nothing was there. You will think, and you know the devil will try to keep you thinking about the past, but none of that is in God's thoughts. He does not remember that, because He says, I buried him into the deepest sea. Don't go back to your sins. Don't go back to what the devil wants to keep going. Yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. You got to go, yeah, but, I'm a child of God now. The devil will go, no. And you'll go, yes. Get out of here, you scroungy little thing, you. Jesus bore the penalty for my sin, your sin. Jesus bore the penalty for the sin of those to come tomorrow. Babies that are born tomorrow and the days after that. He's there to cleanse the sins of those out in the world today, whether they're age one, you know, but as a child, you always got, there's accountability, so we can understand that. But we get into adulthood and to know what we know, that the blood of Christ cleanses those that are in sin even today exactly the same way. Ephesians 2:8-9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. What is it? It's the gift of God. It's not by works that no one can boast. Don't try to clean yourself up to come to God. You will never, never, ever get yourself clean enough to come before God. Many people, before they go to church, they want to get right with God. Before they come, they want to kind of get cleaned up. You come in with the filthy rags. We all have filthy rags, but now we've changed them, right? But now we put on the new creation, the new rags, that of glory. Hallelujah. So don't think you got to get good to get close to God. God wants you to come as you are. There are so many hymns and songs out there. Just as you are without one plea, that God, you know, He came and He died for us. Don't try to get yourself cleaned up. And it's not by what you do. It's already been done. You just need to receive it. Romans 3:24 says, and all are justified, what? Freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. It's Christ Jesus that puts us into that flow of what God has for us and reconciles us back to our Heavenly Father. Ephesians 1:7, did we speak of that? It says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. We know the old John 3:16, right? For God loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. We can go on and read these things. For the grace of God in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Somebody say all. All. That's everybody. It's not a select group. It's not a certain country. It's not a certain nationality. It's all. To the Jews first, and then to the Gentiles. Amen. That's us. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, but he says to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. As we walk in weakness, that's where the strength of God comes in, right? And sometimes we have to get down to that. We've got to get to the point to where we know that I can't do this on my own. Anybody been to that point? Prior to that point where you like, I can handle this, I can do this, I'm strong enough, I'm smart enough, I know what the word says, I can do this and I can do that. Well, if you're not surrendering it all over and saying, it's up to you, oh God, come in. You may not know the word like you think you know the word. You've got to know the word that says you've got to surrender these things. As we look at that, therefore, my sufficiency, God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in Tim's weakness. When I am weak, that's when I see his strength. When I cry out to him, why should I fight this? Why should I battle this? Why should I continue on this path of just going around the same old, same old? I need to cry out to him to give him that permission to come in and take care of this situation in my life, because his grace, his strength is perfect in my weakness. Oh, hallelujah. In 1 Peter, it says this, 1 Peter 18:19, knowing that you were not redeemed with a perishable things like that of silver or gold, but with what? The precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or a spot. Now, we know that's what happened with that of the Old Testament with the lambs and sheep. Unblemished would go and they would be sacrificed, right? And all they did was just, they just kind of covered the sin, and you go back next year, do it all again. We know that that of Jesus is thinking like that of a lamb led to the slaughter, but he was spotless, sinless. He that knew no sin became sin. For those that had sin, we would be set free. How many here are set free? Hallelujah. Set free from that. By that of the precious blood of Christ. And then I think one other area here. And this is what I like. I had a message on this one time too. Oh, because God's word is alive. His word just speaks to you. Right? Okay, Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16. I love this. Let us therefore come. How? I'll know when you say it when you get there. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come. Fill in the blank. This is a Jeopardy question. Boldly, boldly, boldly. Yes, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Come boldly here speaks literally without reservation. I'm going to tell you, you don't need a reservation to get boldly before that of God. Amen. As a child of God, you got access. And you need to come into that boldly. Not pridefully. I know many times we want to go up there and just like, hello, God. God, do you have time to hear me? Can I come before you? Not today. I got to make an appointment. Oh, great. No. We come to him boldly in our prayer. You might knock. I don't know. Knock and go in? Or you just come boldly? I got a need. I'm going to go to my Father in heaven. I'm going to go up and I'm going to say, Heavenly Father, I have this situation going on and I need help, or I need this, or please touch this, or please take this, or whatever it is. But we have even people in our Christian people that they tremble. And I know we tremble with reverence before God. We got to take all this stuff where it's at and with a grain of things of understanding that. I respect God. And I have reverence with him. But I also know that as a child of God, I can have boldness to go to him. Why is that? The word of God says so. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Oh, hallelujah. Come boldly literally means without reservation, with frankness, and with full and open speech. We approach a throne of grace, not a throne of judgment. Obtaining mercy for the past and grace for the present and the future. I don't know. You still going through things? I would ask you, have you gone boldly before the throne of grace? Have you gone to Daddy God? If you're still dealing with stuff, I think you might be one of those Christians that's a little timid. Like, I don't know if I can't go before him. He's God. No, he wants you to come before him. That, in a way, shows reverence, respect, because it's not doing it on my own, and I'm not going to try to have a 12-step program or a 5-step program, or I'm not doing this or that. Now, some of those programs might be good at the time and all that. I'm not saying it's not. But I think we have a lot of people that continue in the same stuff because we don't get boldness to say, I've got a problem, and I'm going to my dad. Think of your times as a growing child. If you had a problem on the playground or neighborhood kids, you sometimes would maybe finally tell your dad or something, and your dad would get a hold of that kid's dad and say, hey, you know, tell your kid to knock it off, whatever. You know, but we have to have somebody go there for us. And God is there to go for us, but you got to go to him. And I think the enemy sometimes, the devil, that of the enemy, would like to put such a thought in us to say, well, Tim, you're just a mere man. You don't have that. You better be careful. You better tread lightly if you try to go into the throne room of God, because you know he's God, and he could just smote you out with just like a snap of a finger. Well, yeah, he could do that, but you know he can do that same to you, devil. You know, he can kick you out. But I've got this underlined and bolded here, and let us therefore come boldly to that of the throne of grace. And I would encourage you today, no matter what you're going through, if you are a child of God, you've got the authority, you've got the okay from that of God to say, come here, tell me what's hurting you. What's going on? Well, I don't want to take up your time. No, God says, I'm here for you. I've never left you. I'll never forsake you. What's going on? I want your life to be good. I want you to have an abundance. I want you to be happy. I want you to be, you know, joyful. I want you to have the best of this life on that side of heaven. Because when I get to heaven, it's going to be great. But I tell people over and over, this side of heaven, I want it to be great here as well. And God will take care of that. But you got to know who you're serving. You got to know who you've surrendered to. You got to know that he's not left you. You got to trust him. But I'm going to tell you this, God loves you. Amen. And so as we look back at these things, I think this will pretty well wrap it up for this group here of what I'm looking at. I'm just going to read it one time. We'll have a prayer. And do this knowing that, Romans 11:14, New King James. And do this knowing the time that now is high time to wake out of your sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Christ, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful, wonderful day. Father, I pray that we've heard your word, that, Father, by the Spirit, it's touched the hearts of individuals here, that, Father, they heard what they needed to hear for their individual situation. We pray, Lord, that there will be a newness in their step, a newness in their thoughts, a newness in the direction that they have. That, Lord, we would begin to look at these things and understand that, Lord, we need to exemplify that of Christ in our lives. It's not hard. We just need to be obedient and do what the Word says. It may be difficult, but you're strong and you will help us. We want to please you, Father. And so I pray that upon these people that are here today. I thank you, Lord, for their attentiveness. I thank you, Lord, for the power of your Word. Even, Lord, for your word to make sense in the times that maybe I jumbled it up or didn't come out quite right. I pray, Lord, that you, by the Spirit, have fixed all of that. And we thank you for that. Go with us, I pray. Continue to encourage us. Let us be that light of armor that exemplifies that of Christ. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.